Peace be with you from Gaza first. Revolution, it's a hated a word for those who are dominating the other nations. Revolutions for the people who is under attacks, under embargo, under siege, under occupation. Revolution means love of life, love of being, existing, sharing with others, love of civilization, love of education, love of peace, love of nature. And those who are resisting are not looking for death. No one can say and love death. As in Palestine, we are not looking for death when we fight, when we resist. We are looking to gain the fight of peace. We want to live for Palestine and to share with the other nations our civilization. In Iran also, you are fighting not to dominate others, not to occupy others, not to kill others, but you want to live. You want to share with the other nations your great civilization, and you want to survive, to serve Iran as we want to serve Palestine in the same way. This stand for us is enormous, and we want that nations can keep us always in their sights, that we are not fighting to kill, because we are not killing, we are not terrorists, we are not dominating other nations. We are men of peace. We are looking for our country, for the salute of our country, for development of our country, not more than that.
Well, Father Manuel Masalem, I remember seeing you here on Press TV back in December when it was Christmas time. And here we're looking at February. A war has passed by. Iran's revolution, this Islamic revolution, at the core of it is resistance. Now, this idea of resistance, obviously, along with it and coexisting with it, means peace. But unfortunately, the people of Gaza did not experience that. But we can see that after this war, the entire world has come closer, if they have not already, come to understand what resistance means and have therefore been able to show their solidarity with the people of Palestine. This is one of the fruits of what the Islamic Revolution stood for, this idea of resistance. And now the world realizes what that means and how it's been affected and how the fruits of it are going to come into light, as it has through this war. And we're hoping the people of Gaza are going to see that the world is behind them.
Gaza and the Palestinian people were suffering the media. We are an unknown media. We don't reach the world. We cannot speak to the world. We used to speak to each other. We used to speak about our difficulties to each other. Now the war is a high cry towards the world to understand us and to listen to us. We were suffering and no one was taking care of us. We were losing our country each day, each time, and no one was realizing what was happening for the Palestinian people. They were considering us suffering people, giving suffer to the Israelis, not suffering from the Israelis. The Israeli media could speak about the stand of the Israeli people as a persecuted people by Palestinians. So instead of speaking Siderot, they were speaking the Wailing Wall. So they brought the whole world to Sderot to show them what the Palestinians are and will do for them, to destroy them. In reality, we were not destroying Israel. Israel was destroying us. We were not killing Israel. Israel was killing us. We were not sending Israel into the sea. Israel was sending us in the sea. We are not sieging Israel. Israel was sieging sea. Now the war opened the eyes of the world that all these heavy bombardments, all these sophisticated arms of the Israeli army against an innocent people, and it danced people in Gaza without any possibility and force to resist to this sophisticated army, has opened the eyes of the world that these are innocents. These are not fighting for killing. These people are defending their lives. And now they could understand that Hamas is not a military part. It is not a military side. It is not soldiers gathered from all over the world to kill the Israelis. But Hamas is the people of Palestine. That Hamas, this Islamic party, is the children of Gaza, the innocents of Gaza. These are the men of Gaza, the teachers at the universities, the teachers in the schools, the doctors in the hospitals. This is Hamas. Now, to open the mind of the world that it is not Hamas which is fighting, it is the Palestinian people fighting under a name called Hamas. This is the meaning of resistance for the Palestinian people. This is our stand, and because of that, when the world agreed to open his eyes, he could realize immediately what is happening. When the world heard the cries of the innocents here, they understood that we are innocents. When they tried to see all these forbidden weapons employed against an innocent people, you see farmers living in their homes, see that more than one family has been completely destroyed. When the world opened his eyes to hear the cries of children in traumatizing situation, these children who are fighting to survive, wounded and crying, walking in blood, all these people has been astonished to see that Palestinians are there, and they are a people, they are a nation, they are a force, they are a people on a ground, and they possess their ground, and they can resist, they can say no to the devil and to the brutal army who is killing Palestinians. And this is the meaning of Hamas and resistance in Palestine.
Thank you so much, Father Manuel Mosalem, head of Gaza's Roman Catholic community there from Gaza, with the statements. We appreciate that, Father Manuel Mosalem. We're going to go over now to Damascus in Syria. Mohammed Habash, Syrian MP, joins us on this 30-year anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. Mr. Mohammed Habash, thank you very much for coming to Press TV. 30-year of the Islamic Revolution, 30 years in which right now Iran is, the Islamic Republic is a major superpower in the world. Why is Iran a major player in the world at this point?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 30 years ago, when Imam al-Khomeini decided to come back to Iran and to launch this kind of Islamic Republic, at that time the superpowers around the world said this project now, the future of Iran will be a bloody one, and this is exactly what they what they did during the first year and the second year during the revolution. And after that, when they commanded Saddam Hussein to invade Iran and to launch new war against Iran. But now, after 30 years, everyone knows that Iran achieved its stability, and in the same time, there is a secret situation in there is security in Iran. And now we heard the President Ahmadinejad when he talked about the progress and the development in Iran, and this is exactly what everyone see in Iran now. This kind of pictures which we are seeing now in the screen, the millions of people around the Islamic government in Iran, around Islamic leadership in Iran, this is the proofs the Iranian people, the Iranian nation understood that we have some way, not Western way, not Eastern way, but Islamic way. Islamic way, which Imam Khomeini called for. Now we understood exactly what it means. We heard now about the satellite rackets. We heard now about the agriculture, about the industry, about the education, about universities, about merchants. This kind of development give us a very nice picture about Iran Republic, because we heard before that there is only just some interest about religious issues. There is more mosques, there is more huza, there is more Islamic schools. No, now we heard from by Mr. Ahmadinejad that Islamic Republic now enters the progress world, and it became now superpower in the world. And it's very important to mention that Iran didn't going to get mass destruction, but it's going to achieve its power as a peace power. And Imam Khomeini said very clearly, he said there is no intention by Iranian nation, by Iranian government, by Iranian leadership, there is no intention at all to create mass destruction. We believe mass destruction is haram in Islam, forbidden in Islam. Because of this kind of fatwa, I believe United Nations has to make this day as a festival, as a memory for all religious leaders around the world. There is religious leader in Iran said mass destruction, it's forbidden. That means we have no religious permission to create this kind of mass destruction. Now, I believe everyone saw this picture now in the screen. Iranian people around the government, and we are waiting new election now in Iran. There is two directions, not only one. There is conservative direction, and there is renewal direction, and Iranian people can choose, can get their opinion about their future. They were talking about the women in Iran. The women in Iran after the revolution will stay at home, and they have no chance to participate in the life. But now, after 30 years, what can we see about the women in Iran? The women in Iran now in universities, in TVs, in parliament, government, so on. So everyone understood that the women in Iran get more rights during the revolution of the Islamic revolution in Iran. Now, I can tell you honestly, the main two issues in the Islamic revolution is the situation of democracy and the situation of women. After 30 years, I can see the situation of democracy in good situation, and everyone know that there is open, there is independent election in Iran, and the situation of women in Iran now, everyone can see the new positions of women in Iran.
So, Mr. Mohammad Habash, sounds like not only do you have the history of Iran's Islamic revolution down, but it also looks like you listened to Iran's president, Ahmadinejad, and his statements, which he delivered from Azadi Square here in the capital, Tehran. Mohammed Habash, I picked up on one thing that Ahmadinejad said, and that the world has changed. The era of culture and dialogue has come, in which a little later he talked about the new U.S. administration. Do you think that the United States is ready based on what Ahmadinejad said, and that was for talks to be fair and for there to be mutual respect?
Yes. Ahmadinejad said we need only one issue, mutual respect. It's enough, mutual respect. We are independent country and you are independent country. We have independent intention, independent will, independent decision, and you have independent decision. So with this situation, I believe, with the new administration in the United States, we have a right to look for hope. But let me be frank, I don't believe it's easy. I don't believe the situation in America just as a decision of Mr. Obama. You know that there is circle powers in the United States, and they have real benefit to find the United States administration
Habash, against Iran. Mr. Mohammed Habash, I am so sorry, but I have to jump in there. Mohammed Habash, Syrian MP from Damascus, we appreciate your statements. 30 years of the Islamic Revolution here on Press TV, in which we're bringing you coverage on. Join us after a summary of the news with Afshin. I'll be in the studio waiting for you. Thank you very much for watching us. Continuing coverage after the summary of the news.
همه مردم بیرون بودن دیگه کسی تو خونه نمی نشست بچه بزرگ کوچیک زن دختر همه
برای چی میومدن
برای تظاهرات برای عوض کردن رژیم
ما اون زمان زیر سلطه بودیم الان زیر سلطه نیستیم الان خودمونیم از نظر علمی این همه پیشرفت کردیم ما به فناوری روز دنیا دست پیدا کردیم
ما نبودیم فیلم ها رو که میبینم شور و هیاهوهای اون موقع رو که میبینم احساس میکنم هنوز اون انقلاب زنده است این انقلاب هیچ وقت از بین نمیره
اومدیم اینجا که با امام و آرمان هایشون تجدید میثاق کنیم و راهشون رو ادامه بدیم احساس بسیار خوشنودی، سرافرازی و سربلندی دارم و امیدوارم بتونم به عنوان فرزند این انقلاب راهشون رو ادامه بدم.
ما اومدیم به امام خمینی ثابت کنیم که راهی که تا حالا پیش گرفتیم و از الان به بعد براش ادامه میدیم. ما اومدیم ثابت کنیم اینجا که انقلاب اسلامی مال ماه، حق ما، هیچ کس هم نمیتونه اون از ما بگیره.
Back to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. We just saw a package there, again, showcasing Iran's achievements in the past 30 years, the Islamic Revolution of Iran, 30 years young. Well, who better to discuss this right now? We're joined in the studio with Dr. Masumeh Abtekar, former Iranian vice president. Dr. Abtekar, pleasure to have you here in our studios.
Thank you.
First of all, congratulations. It's a very special day, as usual. 30 years young. What makes Iran's Islamic Revolution so unique?
Well, there are certain features of the revolution that make it unique. I think the first and foremost is the fact that this is a revolution based on faith, based on the convictions of the people, based on their faith in freedom and democracy and independence. You go back to the slogans of the early days of the revolution on these very similar days. 30 years ago in the streets of Tehran, you would hear independence, freedom, Islamic Republic. So the revolution begins with independence. Freedom comes as a natural consequence of independence because we have a long history of foreign involvement in Iranian affairs. We have a long history of colonialism and imperialism in Iran. And the despotic regimes, which actually limited the people's freedoms, the social freedoms that we had in Iran, were directly supported by those foreign powers. So there's this interrelatedness between the independence factor and the freedom. And then when the independence is gained and the freedom is obtained, then we can have an Islamic Republic, which is the realization of a religious democracy in Iran. And this is what makes the Islamic Revolution unique, the fact that it is a cultural revolution. In those early days before the revolution, certain armed groups, they would go meeting Imam secretly, either in Najaf or in Paris, and they would propose that the revolution take a military armed approach against the regime, and that they would have a guerrilla warfare against the regime. But Imam was opposed to that approach. He believed that this is a cultural revolution. This is a revolution based on the convictions of the people. And what we need here is to win the hearts and the minds of the people, not to only topple the regime and then go ahead with the establishment of a government, but to first to gain the hearts and the minds of the people. And once that cultural revolution, that transformation, that belief in the fact that we need this independence for our self-reliance, we need this independence in order to be able to stand on our own feet and to proceed and to take Iran into the new era. And so the legacy of Imam, the fact that he led this revolution not with arms, not with through violence, but in a very peaceful manner, by taking the people to a direction where they come to this realization that they need to stand up against the oppressors, they need to struggle and sacrifice. But if they have faith, if they have unity, and Imam would always repeat these two, the issue of unity and the issue of belief and faith in God, that this is, there's a spiritual connection behind this revolution. And that spiritual connection ensures that the revolution is not a short-lived event. It's not something only a couple months onward, then everything is forgotten and takes a totally different direction. But the direction is maintained, and now 30 years onward, we still see the same fervor, maybe translated into different types of action. We see it in the scientific realm. We see it in terms of economic progress, in terms of industrialization. But the fervor is there, the belief is there, and then on the occasion of the anniversary, you see the people coming again, marching in the streets. And the interesting thing is that you see people from all different strata of life. You see women wearing different forms of hijab. It's not necessarily that everybody there is wearing the chador. You see girls, young boys from different ages, different social groups. And this is, again, another unique feature of the Islamic Revolution. It actually touched the hearts and the minds of all different groups of Iranian society. And so the Islamic Republic belongs to all these different groups. It is not an establishment based on only the will or the power of a few group, an elite, but it is based on the different diverse groups, social, ethnic, different intergenerational groups that we have in our Iranian society.
And that's so very true in terms of the cultural revolution that you mentioned, because that's taken the West by surprise. I want to talk about that a little bit more, but first we're going to go over to a guest we have that joins us via satellite link, Rabbi Moshe Ari Friedman, who's a chief rabbi, anti-Zionist Orthodox Jews in Vienna, joining us today on the 30-year Islamic Revolution's anniversary. Rabbi Moshe Ari Friedman, thank you very much for joining us. 30 years, the Islamic Revolution. Tell us your thoughts on the revolution.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and happy holiday to you in Tehran. I think that the way the Islamic Revolution is being received, in other words, the international community, international population, had in fact quite a wrong picture and the real merits of the case and the real nature about what the Islamic Revolution is all about. It's indeed much better nowadays, but it has always been the impression and the image that the Islamic Revolution in Iran is somehow limited in a concentrating on a certain country, in this case Iran, a certain religion, the religion of Islam, and a certain area. It's, in other words, people were receiving and fed with information that there is in 1979, prior and during and after the Islamic Revolution, the world is confronted with a certain extremist religious sect which could conduct a certain threat or hatred or aggression, when in fact it is completely the other way around, because it has been inevitable back then that the solution of most of the problems is actually that the international population, the all mankind, should get back to their traditional roots, to their religious belief, and not only the Islamic religion, but all religions should get back to belief in God. And in fact, out of the strong belief in God and having a revolution in a religious nature, spiritual nature, this should bring and brought about a lot of love and peace. I can witness myself. I have been a lot in Iran. I have been there. I spent a lot of time even with my family. And the I could have go out there on the street even 2 o'clock at night, in the morning hours in the side streets of Tehran, which I doubt is the case in other countries. However, the Islamic Revolution is not a revolution limited to a certain country and a certain religion. It is actually a revolution which is inevitable for other religions too, and this religious revolution should also be extended to the Jewish religion and other religions too, which is inevitable nowadays. So in conclusion, the Islamic Revolution is actually a gift, and a very strong gift from Almighty for all mankind, a good model for getting a revolution, to getting the all mankind back in belief in their traditional roots in God, in all religions. In result of that, we are experience a great revolution in love and peace and harmony for all mankind. So again, the Islamic Revolution of Iran is indeed a gift, but it should not be limited at all to a certain country and a certain religion, but the Jewish and other religions too should follow that model, having also a revolution which is inevitable, getting back to believe in God and to traditional roots, and this is the most important element to safeguard a peaceful world and the solution to the problems we are living in nowadays.
I appreciate that, Rabbi Moshe Ari Friedman. We ask you to stay with us because we have a in-house guest here, Dr. Massoumi Abdikar is here with us. Dr. Abdikar, Rabbi Moshe Ari Friedman said something that stands out for me, and he said that this Islamic revolution is not limited to a certain country. And then after a few words, he said that it's a gift. So what is the impact that the Islamic revolution has had across the world?
That's very true, because the Islamic revolution deals with values that are very common to all religions, to all humanity, in fact. It deals with values that go essentially in line with human dignity, with the fact that the human being has a very high and sublime position in the world of creation. And this position should be realized in the form of a government, a system which can actually take that human being and give that human being the opportunity to realize those God-given capabilities, those God-given potentials. And that is not possible unless human beings relieve themselves from the oppressors and gain independence, and that they define a way of life which undertakes both the spiritual and the material aspects. And for this to occur, the first step has to be taken by human beings themselves. They have to decide to stand up against oppression. They have to stand up to against injustices, to speak out, and to actually take the strength that is given to them through their faith, their convictions in God, and to move ahead, to improve their livelihoods, to change, to bring about a change in their lives. And this is what happened during the Islamic Revolution. The people came to this conclusion that they have to stand up themselves. They have to believe in their own faith, in their strength, in the fact that they can overcome a very strong regime which was in power. The Shah's regime should not be underestimated. This is a very strong, both military-wise, politically. It is heavily supported. We had about 60,000 American armed forces in Iran. And to the last moment, the American government was supporting the Shah. General Heiser was in Iran until the very, very last moments, even after the Shah had left Iran. Heiser was here. He's trying to find a way out, trying to what they called find a final resolution that would prevent the downfall of the regime. So that this is a very strong regime, and the people practically had nothing in their hands other than their faith and their unity. And this is a lesson for all, and I believe it's a lesson for humanity, that faith can overcome the sword, and that ultimately, if the belief is there, if the understanding, the awareness, or what we can say, the enlightenment, if the enlightenment is there, then the human being can find his or her way and direction in life. And this is what happened collectively during the Islamic Revolution. And then today, when we're actually revisiting those principles, we again have to stress and have to mention the fact that keeping the revolution in line with those original principles is much harder than the revolution itself. This is a more difficult process in which we are now involved in maintaining those basic principles while also moving ahead, because this revolution has to move ahead. This revolution has to be able to deal with the new emerging expectations, the changes in time and place, the new generation. And this is what is keeping the revolution alive, the dynamism that is inherent both in the Islamic faith, in the religion, and also in this, the way that the revolution has come forward up to now, makes it a dynamic movement that is still alive today and very relevant to the lives of the Iranians. But the challenge is to keep this connection with the new generation. That is the challenge that we face today in Iran.
Well, let's find out what Rabbi Moshe Ari Friedman thinks of that. Rabbi Moshe Ari Friedman, if you heard Dr. Abtikar's comments there, is that a challenge that the Islamic revolution faces? Is the unity, or the, how can I say, striking that common chord with the newer generation, or order for it to well, make the newer generation understand what the ideologies of the revolution was, the Islamic revolution, from the beginning.
Yes, given I had the impression all along, being in close contact with the religious leaders of Iran, of the Islamic Republic, that they have always seen the merits of the case of the Islamic Revolution, something which they serve the entire world and all mankind, and they were always interested that others should be successful by following the same roots, so they have never considered the Islamic Revolution something exclusively or limited to Iran or Middle East or to the religion of Islam, but rather to provide and to save as a redeemer the other people around the world, regardless to their faith, to their religion, to their country they are living in, etc., etc. So that was the nature the Islamic Republic of Iran has always conducted their activities. We are 30 years. I think there is also a lack of appreciation. People must appreciate when something is being done and in such accomplishments for all mankind, we should express appreciation and thanks. And after all, out indifferent from the image which has been brought about back then for the international population, what is Islamic Republic and Islamic Revolution it's all about. It has resulted actually in love and kindness and helping out people around the world and seeing themselves as a sort of a redeemer, having a biblical spiritual mission for having a revolution, which is called in this case Islamic Revolution, but they have never limited the revolution to Iran or to the Middle East or to the religion of Islam. So as I said before, I think the challenge nowadays is having the revolution for all other religions, to which is the only solution to all problems, getting back to the traditional roots. Nowadays we are experiencing people in the decision-making level which are not daring and have the courage to express their appreciation and thanks and respect to the accomplishments of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Maybe in certain cases they would look around if someone listens, but in not mentioned in the open. But at least people do admit nowadays and give their greatest respect and thanks for the achievements for the Islamic Republic.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Moshe Ari Friedman, Chief Rabbi Anti-Zionist Orthodox Jews in Vienna, for his statements here on Press TV. Many thanks for that. The question that comes after the rabbi spoke there is, how does one person, or how was one person able to win the hearts of mind of an entire nation? We're going to come back to that question, because right now we're going to we have the summary of the news. We try to give you news every half hour here on Press TV, but the summary of the news with Afshin. And coming back, we're going to hear more statements from Dr. Masumeh Abtekar, former Iranian vice president, here in the studios. Stay with Press TV. Welcome back. We're discussing here, I'm discussing with Dr. Masumeh Abtekar, former Iranian vice president of the Islamic Revolution, 30 years young. And, well, it's always a pleasure to have you, Dr. Abtekar, even though it's the first time that I'm speaking with you. We were talking about the West in particular the world, let's start in a general sense, how they received the Islamic Revolution and what their thoughts were, how it changed their relation with perhaps Iran throughout the years.
Well, initially the global media at that time, because we didn't have the satellite media, we didn't have the internet at that time, the global media was highly influenced by the Western perceptions about Iran. And unfortunately, they never grasped the essence of the Islamic Revolution. It could have been intentionally the fact that the Americans never wanted to accept the reality that this revolution has taken place, that Iran is no longer their gendarme of the region. They just did not want to accept this reality. Well, it was a bitter reality for them after those long years, about 25 years after the coup d'etat, that they had actually reinstalled the Shah in Iran. Well, and they had a very tight grip over Iran's affairs, Iran's economy, the flow of oil. So it was a bitter reality for them. But unfortunately, they could not grasp the fact that this is a popular revolution, and this revolution is actually in line with some of the basic values, fundamental values of the American Revolution. The fact that the American Revolution also came about through an independence process, through a struggle against the colonialists, and that they were also very religious people. They were pilgrims, actually, bringing about the American Revolution. And that there, again, we see these basic slogans of freedom, independence, human dignity. You look at the American Constitution, you see how similar it is. But and it's strange to see that the American administration, they do not concede, they do not accept this reality, and the media as well, which was totally in control of the American government policies. And they start a process of distortion, censorship, and they try to portray a very negative image of the Islamic Revolution. But it just doesn't work because the reality comes through. Reporters come, they visit the country, independent journalists, and a country that claims that, you know, they're supporting freedom of expression, they cannot just close the world from the reality of the Islamic Revolution. And the message comes through because it's a message that touches the hearts of the viewers, because they see that this message is so simple, it's so down to earth, and everything that's happening in Iran, it's spiritual in its dimension, and it's like a miracle what's happening. And so the message starts flowing through, and particularly you see that among the different nations. I had an opportunity to visit Nairobi about like two and a half years after the revolution, and I visited a village. And it was so strange that the people there, as soon as they saw us, they told me that, you know, we know Imam Khomeini, we love Imam Khomeini. And I was sure that the media wasn't, you know, so positive about the image of Imam Khomeini in Kenya or in other countries. But the positive message was there. And he ran back, this young boy, he ran back to his little hut, and he brought back a picture of Imam that he had cut out from a newspaper somewhere, and he had put it in a frame, and it was on his wall in that little hut. This is only about 2.5 years after, with all that animosity against the revolution in the media, in the press, but the message has gone through in a different way. And the connection is made with people, and it's not only with the Islamic nations, but you see that connection with revolutionary movements throughout the world. Many revolutionary movements in Latin America, they feel inspired by the Islamic Revolution. Many revolutionary movements in other parts of Asia, they also feel that there's a common message. There's something that is very relevant to their movement, to their struggle as well. And the fact that the Islamic Revolution succeeds in spite of all these difficulties, in spite of all these pressures, all these obstacles, all these hurdles, it succeeds and it's standing today, 30 years on. It's standing and it's emerging as a an important player in the region in terms of not only politics, but also in terms of trade, in terms of energy dealings. I think that this is very meaningful.
Definitely is meaningful. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, which is a shame, but we do appreciate it, Dr. Masumeh Abtekar, for you to come here. I congratulate you
Thank you, of course,
the Iranian nation, for you to come here, making the time to talk to us. It was my pleasure to have you here, and I hope to speak to you again. That's Dr. Masumeh Abtekar, former Iranian vice president in the studio with us. At this point, as you've been hearing and as we've been covering, the Islamic Revolution, 30 years young. Now, this revolution has so many facets to it, as you've been hearing. I mean, we go from the achievements in one corner to the unity that it was able to bring, to it being the voice of now a whole new generation here. Well, let's go take a look at what transpired in the past 30 years.
Iran, the 18th biggest country in the world. It was 30 years ago that the people of Iran decided to make history. And a revolution by the people, for the people, was what came out of it. Iranians overthrew the Pahlavi dynasty, and the Islamic Republic of Iran was born. And for the past three decades, Iran has made a history of its own. Under sanctions and just reeling from a devastating war with Iraq, Iran's infrastructure is devastated in the 1980s. And the world waits. It's a matter of days or months before this young revolution breaks down. But that never happens. Iran resists in every way it knows how. In the past 30 years, Iran's defense forces make headlines. Despite a lack of funding and facilities, Tehran manages to overcome harsh sanctions and develop its own military industry. Iran now produces its own tanks, submarines, fighter planes, and guided missiles. Iran's nuclear technology has also advanced in recent years. Right now, the country has several research reactors, a commercial nuclear reactor, and uranium processing facilities. In the past three decades, Iran has seen a large-scale participation of women from traditional backgrounds in different arenas. Around 70% of the country's science and engineering students are women. Iran's first-ever female vice president, Masumeh Abtekar, comes into office in 1997. Iran's space agency launches its first research satellite. And on February 3, 2009, the Safir rocket sent Omid, or Hope, satellite into orbit. And hope is something that has never been missing in Iran. In 2006, Iranian scientists successfully cloned a sheep. The Islamic Republic of Iran is now leading in the field of car manufacture and transportation. Even though Iran has the world's second largest oil and gas reserves, it wants to rely on other sources of income. Sources like tourism, especially because Iran is among the 10 most touristic countries in the world. Right now, less than 2% of national employment is in the tourism sector. That number is expected to reach 10% in the next 5 years. A country that loves art, with a rich heritage, and with two-thirds of its population under the age of 25, Iran has only the future to look forward to.
Hello, welcome back. We're celebrating 30 years of the Islamic Revolution, and of course rolling coverage here on Press TV here in the capital, Tehran. We've been speaking to a number of guests today. We're going to now go to Lebanon. Rani Khoury, founder of the Lebanese-Iranian Friendship, joins us to discuss Iran's revolution, the Islamic revolution, in which it has been 30 years. Rani Khoury, thank you very much for joining us here on Press TV. 30 years, and this revolution, we just had a guest, Dr. Eftekhar, who said that it still resonates with the people here in Iran, with the younger generation. But let's talk about the impact that this has had on the world.
Well, as President Ahmadinejad has said, the Iranian revolution has restored the human identity in Iran. And I think that it has been a model for all other populations, especially in those countries where the population has felt itself somehow in a bad position regarding their governments. This is a model for them to behave and to react against oppression, against dictatorship. It's a combination of getting closer to God and at the same time asking for their civil rights. This combination has made the Iranian revolution a unique event that has been transmitted throughout the media and the communications to other populations in many countries in the world.
Now, how has Iran been able to reach the point that it has? One of the immediate things that comes to mind is how it has turned, well, let's say the sanctions into not a challenge, but an opportunity in terms of it. Well, the most latest achievement was the launch of a satellite, Omid, into space.
Well, I think there are many factors for which that can account for this success. First of all, we cannot but remember the unity of those people, of the people, the Iranian people, the unity around their government, the unity regarding their conviction that this revolution is what they want, what they always wanted, and this is the issue of their fate. The Iranian people are deeply convinced that the revolution, the Islamic revolution, cannot be but their entry to success. This unity has been the major and, I would say, the only weapon that Iran has used against the sanction, international sanction. Otherwise, it would have collapsed. You know that those sanctions have been there for so many years. Any other country would have feared an internal implosion because of those sanctions, because it puts all the population under stress. And if this population cannot cope with the sanction by unity, then it is a complete collapse. And this is a test through which Iran went, and it was actually a key to success. It is only because of this Iranian embargo or the international sanctions against Iran that has pushed the Iranian population, the Iranian scientific community, to react by trying to create their own homemade products in all aspects, whether medical, social, scientific, development, agricultural, military, and all those fields. And this was the real success for Iran, because it was able to demonstrate that against all kinds of sanctions, it could survive. Not only survive, but also progress. Not only progress, but also become a challenging power that could compete with all major powers in the region, and not only in the region, but also in the world.
Rani Khoury, I'm glad you mentioned it in the way that you did, because first you said challenged, and you moved on. And then you moved on from progress into Iran being a major player, so to speak. And I'm just quoting some of the things you said. So in that context, let's look at a statement that President Ahmadinejad said, where he said the world has changed. Do you think the West has realized that Iran is now not the Iran of 30 years ago, that it is indeed, a power in the region? And that it is time, and the time has come, for perhaps for the world to take advantage of this opportunity that's been created. And then, of course, I'm going to refer to the United States, where their slogan has been changed through President Obama.
Well, it is definitely a certitude that the Americans have tried throughout the Bush mandate all kinds of pressure against Iran except the military one, and they failed. All those experiences that the previous U.S. administration has tried to impose on Iran has shown that Iran could simply survive. And the reason why things are here now, it's simply because Iran survived all this period of time and Bush left. So President Obama now in place has launched a new strategy. And I think that soon we will be watching a diplomatic opening from the side of the United States towards Iran. The United States administration has understood that this crucial and central role of Iran in the complexity of the whole region of the Middle East. And if the U.S. needs to reach to any kind of settlement or any kind of solution for this region, then it has to sit down on a table and discuss this with Iran. This is a proof for them that Iran, being this power in place in the region, cannot be neglected in any kind of solution. Otherwise, it is no more a solution. This is why I expect the things to change very soon, and I also expect an opening from the side of the Americans towards Iran. This is also has been underlined by what President Ahmadinejad has said today regarding a possible dialogue with the United States administration.
One of the slogans of the Islamic Republic, really one of the foundations, if not the most important foundation, has been resistance coexisting with independence, or should I say a resistance that has brought independence. Now, when we mention the word resistance, of course, that somewhat mirrors what you have there in Lebanon. Tell us how Iran has impacted Lebanon, the Islamic Republic.
Well, the Islamic Revolution in Iran has been a model of people believing in their own strengths. You know, the power of the Shah before 1979 was very strong, and it was a regime, a totalitarian regime, with a lot of brutality and oppression. Despite this, it is only by the fact that the Iranian people believed in their own strengths and in their own power to change things that the revolution came. This model has been transmitted, as I said before, to many people or many populations around the world, including Lebanon, where a minor group of people at one day understood that they could resist. And even if the trend has been for Israel to always win all its wars, this could have changed. And this is how the Lebanese resistance started by establishing itself. And it is only by believing in its own power to change things that it was able to succeed in facing Israel in the year 2006. And as I said, this is the model that was spread throughout the world from the Islamic Revolution in Iran.
One of the things that Iran has been able to do throughout the past 30 years, it has been able to claim self-sufficiency in many different areas. At the same time, we're noticing that there is, as we've been discussing and we touched on, the fact that, the West needs to have Iran become, let's say, to cooperate, have the cooperation in order to solve some of the different and hard situations that, in this case, the United States is in. One was the Iraq War, is the Iraq War. Then we have on the other side, Afghanistan. Is there a possibility that this coexistence between the two powers can evolve into remedying some of the problems that do exist in the region?
Well, you know, when you ask somebody to come and accept solution, it depends on the way you are dealing with him. If you're dealing with him as somebody on whom you have to impose things, then the result is different from when you dialogue with somebody, when you negotiate with somebody, and when you consider this somebody in face of you as a player as you are. Now that the things have started to change in the region, the European community has started to understand the position and the importance of the Iranian regime before the Americans did, because simply at that time Bush was still in power. And from there on, the results on the ground have shown that despite all the sanctions, those sanctions that were imposed on Iran during the past years, Iran was able to be self-sufficient in all fields. This is one more reason to estimate the role of this player, which is Iran, and to include Iran in any kind of discussion or negotiation regarding the fate of the region, being a superpower that has proven itself as far as technology or political value or economical value or in any other aspect, because it simply was able to survive despite all those sanctions and prosper and develop and evolve with time and be able to reach to the utmost of technology despite all those sanctions that were in place.
Okay, we appreciate that. Dr. Rani Akhouri, political analyst there from Beirut, with his statements on the 30 years of the Islamic Revolution, today being the day that is celebrated here in the capital, Tehran. Many thanks for your statements. This is a rolling coverage here on Press TV. We appreciate you staying with us. We're going to go for a break for the headline news, but stay with us after that as we continue the rolling coverage of the Islamic Revolution's 30-year anniversary.